Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother's Day edition of the David Bowers Awards. This is also our pre-Memorial Day Veterans Salute, and we've got a heck of a show lined up for you this afternoon. Those of you who keep up with our posts know that we have got an all-star cast today, a lot of celebrating to do, a lot of people to talk to, interesting subjects, and, of course, some fantastic music. But
are you going to let me introduce the main event?
For your cue. You're supposed to wait for your cue, John Bon Jovi. I was just going to say we should just kick back, pop open a drink, and as John Bon Jovi would say,
and now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, good afternoon, happy Mother's Day. I know I'm wishing my mother a happy Mother's Day. I wish I could anyway. And my wife and all of you mothers out there and all of you mothers out there. We are live today.
You do have a way with words.
Yes, we do. We've got a split venue today. We are live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and Naples, Florida, doing the David Bowers Awards this month. And we have our salute to the first ladies of our lives, our mothers, and happy Mommy's Day to each and every one of you. And, of course, our pre-Memorial Day salute to our veterans. With your host, the David Bowers, we have a very special guest this month, and his name is Charlie Daniels. You may know him of the Charlie Daniels Band, The Devil Went Down to Georgia et al., and we also have the Warrior Spirit Band, country music star Maggie Thorne. We've had Maggie on before, a very, very lovely young lady, and emerging upstate New York rockers Fight for Rome. We've also got Patrick Ziegert, who is a training and outreach coordinator of the Arizona Coalition for Military Families on Rockstar 101, and as well as all the crew here, Jungle Productions, that's Nick, our geek, and now here is the David Bowers.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, John Bon Jovial. Thank you, listeners. Hello again, and welcome to the David Bowers Awards Show. As you know, this is the show where every show is an award show. Thank you to Titty Bingo, our house band, for our theme music. We got to get them back on the show again. We haven't had them on a while, and I know they've got some new music they're working on.
Just love talking to them.
Be sure to get their newest album, their latest kick-ass CD called Live at Pedernales, which is a hot spot in Texas. This is the next best way to seeing them in person, and believe me, if you get a chance to see them in person, do it. It's going to be one huge party. Now, this is the show where you and our guests pick the awards. There's no nominations, no naming panels or phony voting or anything, just simple awards. Somebody does or says something good or stupid, they get an award. Simple as that. So if you've got someone or something you think deserves an award, write us at david@thedavidbowers.com and put award in the subject line. We've got a couple of special awards today, and of course, the first one has to be to the first ladies of our lives, to our mothers, first in our lives and first in our hearts. As Rudyard Kipling said, God could not be everywhere, and therefore he made mothers.
Gave up everything she owned so that we could have it all. Even though I'm a grown man now, in my eyes, Mama could have moved on, but there were too many children holding her back. She could have been gone, but Yes, love was the key, and mama is my Shiro. Shiro, of all the hurt and pain. Shiro, of all the clouds and the rain. Shiro, she was the glue that kept the family from breaking in two. And mama, did you know you are my Shiro?
Wonderful, and thank you to our Florida friends, the fantastic Bellamy Brothers. Mama, you're my Shiro. And of course, today our award also goes to our veterans, those who served us in the past and put it all on the line for America and what she stands for. For those serving now, many of whom are listening right now around the world. For our future veterans, we'll continue to carry on the tradition of preserving this country and our traditions. Let no one ever forget these brave men and women wrote us a blank check for the freedoms we have and enjoy and backed it with their lives to give us these freedoms and guarantee that no one will ever take them away. We owe them. We can never renege on that debt. The David Bowers Award to our American veterans, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, National Guard, and Reserves. Wherever you are, whichever service you're with, you're serving us all, and we thank you for your service.
I will second
Remember
that
now.
Emotion. Absolutely.
Thank you, John Bon Jovial. If you've got someone or something you think deserves an award, drop us a line, david@thedavidbowers.com. Put awards in the subject line. And don't forget to get your official The David Bowers Awards t-shirts. You can order them online at www.thedavidbowers.com. We keep the price down by taking no profit from them. They're strictly for you, our fans and followers. High-quality tees, black or white, ladies or men's sizes, order now at thedavidbowers.com. A quick salute also to our Navajo brothers, Lauren Anthony and Bloodline, whom we had on the show. They're in rehearsals for an upcoming tour. I hope it's not the Twerk and Destroy tour. Nah, more likely it's the Wrecking Balls tour. Hey, listen, be sure to follow us here on Blog Talk Radio, as well as on Twitter, Facebook. Get all the details of their tour as soon as we get them. Right now, rock on, my fry bread brother.
Absolutely. Hey, David, don't forget to order your official E. David Bowers t-shirts. And these are the only official t-shirts of the David Bowers Awards. And as I know, it sounds a little redundant because you just talked about it, but these really are pretty cool. And they're available only on our website at thedavidbowers.com. That's thedavidbowers.com. They're less than $15. They're a great deal. They're available in black or white and in men's and ladies' sizes. And order now by going to www.thedavidbowers.com. Coming up on the David Bowers Awards, Maggie Thorne, Warrior Spirit Band, and the legend himself, Mr. Charlie Daniels. But right now, David, we've got a rock band from Rome, New York, Fight for Rome.
Absolutely. Our next guests are the very first selection in our indie artist search. If you'd like to be considered for a guest shot on the show, all you have to do is send your EPK to david@thedavidbowers.com. Our panel will review them and select their future guests from the entries. Here's your chance to get introduced to our worldwide audience and have your music heard around the world. Today's guest band is the first selected by this process from upstate New York. This is Fight for Rome.
The wind in sight, the tunnel.
Apparently, our friends at Fight for Rome are fighting for a phone line right now because we haven't gotten a connection with them yet. But I do want to remind you that this is our very first selection in our indie artist search. And if you are a singer, a musician, a band, whatever, and you'd like to be considered for a guest shot on our show, all you have to do is send us your EPK. Send it to david@thedavidbowers.com, and we'll review them. We'll select future guests from the entries. So here's your chance to get introduced to our worldwide audience, be heard around the world. Today's guest band, as I said, the first selected by this process, Fight for Rome, is an all-original band founded just a year ago. They've been in existence for a year. They're composed of drummer Bobby C., bassist Josh Young, guitarist Scott Washburn, and two vocalists, Dwayne Pearson and Garrett Plunkett, not to be confused with Gary Puckett. And the band is so new, they don't have a studio recording yet, so the tracks that you're hearing were recorded live at their gigs in and around the central New York area, Rome, Utica, and in that area. And we are really pleased to be able to present them to you. I believe that we now have them on the phone. I'm not sure which one. Hello there.
Hi, how are you, David?
Doing fine. Who are we speaking with?
This is Larry, a.k.a. Bobby
Larry,
C.
Welcome aboard. You're the drummer with the band, if I'm not mistaken.
You are correct, sir.
Great. It's good to have you guys on board with us, and especially great to have a band from my old home stomping grounds. Haven't been there in a couple of years, but I spent quite a few years growing up, or at least a little bit, in the area, and I've walked just about every street in that city at one time or another. Now, you guys came together a year ago. Tell us a little bit about how you got together.
Well, I mean, essentially, myself and my guitarist there, Scott Washburn, we actually started kind of jamming out years ago. Never really got anything, you know, put together band-wise. And roughly about a year ago, after practicing with him and my bassist, Jack Young, we ended up taking on two very talented vocalists, Garrett Plunkett and Dwayne Pearson here, and just kind of started, you know, kind of throwing some things together and realized that we had a very good overall chemistry. And after, you know, being friends for well over a decade between us, we just kind of put everything to fruition and made it what it is so far today.
And you're doing a bunch of gigging through the upstate New York area. And I know that from people that I have talked with in the area and agents that I know up there, there's a little bit of shortage of venues, especially for up-and-coming groups. How are you finding that?
Well, that is very, very true. And actually, one of our beloved places that we've played most of our shows at, which is Trace's Restaurant and Lounge right there in Rome, New York, actually closed down here at the end of April, and that was just that's a huge hindrance to the local music scene in the area. Very devastating, actually. A lot of local bands played there. They had open arms for everybody. It didn't matter what kind of music you played. But fortunately, we're working very closely with some good friends that are helping to promote other band members and stuff like that through like our friend Phil Price, which is the lead singer for Dark Passenger. He's actually was the owner of Traces and is now kind of getting into the promoting end of things. So he's definitely on board to help us out. We're going to be booking some gigs with them here in the very near future, and just keeping our eyes open and taking every opportunity that we can.
Well, I've got to get a plug in for my friends on the other side of the other side of the line there, over on the Utica side. They've got a thing they have every fall, every September, actually, the Utica Music and Arts Festival, where they get together a fantastic bunch of talent. Usually, I think they've got well over 100 acts playing there this year. Are you guys going to be able to play that, or have you got other commitments?
Well, we have actually signed up. We put in the application to do it, so we're definitely looking forward to hopefully be on that bandwagon as well.
Fantastic. You be sure and look up Joe Sweet and another one of my buddies there, Z, who have been involved with it from its inception. I think that, if I'm not mistaken, the two of them actually founded the thing 3-4 years ago, and I did a show from there, I believe, 3 years ago, and it's quite a thing. It's one of the few places in the country where it is an all-city event. I mean, there are clubs and venues all over the city, and the nice thing for artists is there are a lot of scouts there. The whole thing has gotten quite a bit of an attention, and there are a lot of people out there that are judging these new artists especially, so it's quite an exposure for you, and it's quite a thing for the fans. If you're a music fan in upstate New York, check out the Utica Music and Arts Festival. But we're not here to promote that right now, but it's something for you to look forward to. Now, you guys are working on some new material, is that correct?
Yeah, actually, we got quite a bit. Actually, I think we have more stuff in the works now than what we actually have put together. I think right now we got a total of 11 completed original tracks. Well, we count our 30-second song, and actually, we probably have probably 12 or 13 on the back burner as of right now, and 3 more that are in the works. So,
I have
John
Bon
Jovi, you're saying all too quietly.
No, I'm getting used to this delay. Doing the split venue like this is really kind of an interesting challenge. Larry, I've got a question for you, or actually, I don't know so much of a question as to just kind of a tip, if you will. The city of Fort Myers, Florida, which is just a little bit north of here, about 20, 25 miles north of here, about 4 or 5 times a year, they have a big thing going on downtown. They do many different venues. They do classic car nights. They do the biker nights. They do Zombie Con. But they have gotten very big into promoting indie bands from all over the country and trying to get people to come to Fort Myers to try to make it a center, if you will, of this culture. And I would urge you guys very strongly to get a hold of the Fort Myers Chamber of Commerce to find out more information about that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that sounds like a fantastic thing.
Because the music, what we just heard, at least, you know, what I just heard from Smoke 'Em If You Got 'Em, is that it's something that would fit in with absolute perfection. I mean, by the way, that was a great kick-ass song. I got to tell you, I really like that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Definitely one of the band favorites as well.
How did that come about?
Well, actually, I think I'm probably going to let my vocalist here, Garrett, take over, and he'll kind of piece that together for you.
Okay.
Hey, Dave. It's Garrett here. How's it going? So,
hey, welcome aboard.
Thank you. So one day I was sitting watching the news for hours on end, and really, you know, especially flipping through all the different news channels, it just seemed like, you know, the world is just tumbling down. You know, and, you know, it in a way. So I just ended up writing that song, everything about Greece and Africa and, you know, our own country and just everything. And it ended up all coming together, and then, you know, but I wanted it to still hit hard, so that's how we ended up coming up then with the chorus of, you know, saying, you know, the world's come down, so, you know, hey, smoke them if you got them, and then, but then really hitting them hard with, like, you know, with that rock, that chorus, you know.
Give the impression of bombs dropping.
Yeah, the impression of bombs dropping, stuff like that.
So. Well, it made a good impression, at least for me it did. And I know that, you know, while David and I are, you know, I guess by many people, you know, he and I are considered dinosaurs. I mean, my God, we've been in one form of rock and roll or country radio since the 60s doing this kind of thing. But, you know, it's not difficult for a media person such as ourselves to recognize talent when we hear it. And I'm not trying to stroke you or make you feel good or anything like that, but seriously, that was a pretty good tune, and I think that would do great at any kind of an indie fest.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Sure. David?
And I'm really, what I really like about you guys is the fact that, and I know this came out in our discussions beforehand, you guys are more into what you call real world conversation than you are politics, and that, you know, that comes through in your music and what you talk about. And I wonder if you would tell us a little bit before we let you go and play your next song here, if you tell us a little bit about your other song, the next song we're going to play, New York Safe.
As you know, right after Sandy Hook. You know, in the middle of the night, you know, Cuomo had the bill signed, Cuomo, our governor, he had the bill signed that, you know, was restricting all of all this different restrictions on handguns and assault rifles and just all this stuff. And it, you know, the bill itself wasn't well written. It was infringing on the Second Amendment, and it just really made us mad. So I was like, hey, guys, you want to make a song about, you know, that? And they're like, yeah. So then, you know, I started writing it, and it's, you know, and it became, you know, like just what it is. It was just, you know, some thoughts from everybody that I took everyone's thoughts, and I wrote it in a notebook, and then we ended up with this song, and you know, it was a lot of, you know.
And we try not to push either really left or right when it comes to it. We like you said, we really try to get people to talk about, you know, the topic at hand, really have a discussion maker out of our songs, where we're not really trying to impose a particular viewpoint, but we want people to talk about it and you know, take something away from it other than just, you know, just listening to music.
Head, rock it out.
Yeah, we want it to convey a message and really, you know, make people think about it.
I think the message really good.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead, John.
No, I was just going to say the message comes through. I mean, it is a neutral. It's a neutral song. It doesn't have to be a political song. I mean, common sense is common sense.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. I think that comes through, and I really, you know, I admire and respect your standpoint, your perspective on everything. And we're going to go to your other song right now and encourage you, please keep in touch with us. Let us know what's going on with you. And also, if you get into a studio and you do some studio recording, let us know. Definitely want to hear the new music you've got coming that you're working on now. And I want to take this moment right now to thank you so much for taking time out of your Mother's Day afternoon to come and sit down and chat with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks a lot, David.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you again. This is really, really an honor for us.
Fight for Rome!
Fight for Rome. Next time I'm up that way, I'm going to look you guys up. Ladies and gentlemen, that's from Rome, New York. They're called Fight for Rome, and this is New York Safe. Well, it's supposed to be. Let's see. Where is the music? There we go. We'll be right back. New York safe. That's Fight for Rome right here on the David Bowers Awards. Thank you so much, guys. Great having you here. Can't wait to hear what they sound like if they when they get into a studio.
Yeah, these guys, they got a good quality to them. I mean, yeah, you can tell it's got that funky garage band feel to it, but I think that's also one of its intrinsic charms, for lack of better words. But they've got a certain raw quality that, you know, you polish that up a little bit, and it's going to sound real good.
Great, and for those of you out there that missed it now, we are taking entries. If you'd like to become a guest on the show, send your EPK to David at the David Bowers Awards. If you don't have an EPK, write me for instructions. My staff will be able to tell you how to get heard around the world.
And with that, on that note, I just want to let you know, David, that coming up on Rockstar 101 a little later in the show this afternoon, we've got the Warrior Spirit. You know what? I completely blew that. Let me try that again. Let me rewind the tape, and I'm going to do this.
Go for it.
Tape, for those of you that may not know, is this analog stuff that was about a quarter of an inch wide that we used to use back in the dinosaur days of radio. But coming up today on Rockstar 101, we're going to be having that with a gentleman from Phoenix that deals in the military affairs and is going to let us know what's going on there. We've also got the Warrior Spirit Band this afternoon and Charlie Daniels. But right now, the very lovely and amazingly talented, want to let you know about Maggie Thorne.
And here she is, ladies and gentlemen, Maggie Thorne and her soldier's tribute, My Soldier.
I'm down at the local post office, where everybody knows your name. Sending out another box of love and tears. People ask me how I'm doing, but I never let them see me cry. Soldier goodbye. And I can't stand to watch TV. Lord, I hate the news, 'cause every soldier that I
My Soldier, that's Maggie Thorne. You get a chance to hear this young lady. You got to hear her.
What a beautiful song.
And I tell you what, check her out on YouTube. This young lady can yodel too. Maggie, come on board.
Hey, how are you guys?
Maggie, how you doing?
I am doing great.
Oh, Maggie, what a beautiful song. An absolutely gorgeous song.
Thank you so much.
Isn't that an awesome song? Tell us the history of that song, how you came to write it.
Well, I released the song in December, but I started writing it last summer. I called on my grandma. She likes to co-write songs with me. Her name's Annette Lumpson. And I was like, we have to write a song just like this for all the women that stay home and stay strong back while their men, you know, are on deployment. And she was like, absolutely, yeah, let's write it, you know. So I sent her some ideas, and we talked back and forth because my grandfather, Stan Lumpson, he was in the Air Force, and he was a pilot in Vietnam. So she's went through that. She's had that feeling. So I thought it'd be perfect if we wrote the song together. And I had a lot of friends going through it. So we wrote the song and recorded it, and she's actually the woman that's singing background vocals on the track. And we released it, and we just, every time I sing it live, I just give all the honor to all the women that stay strong back home while their men are out there fighting. So
it definitely had the feel that somebody knew what it was like. It's not one of those things that you just sat down and wrote. You can tell there was a lot of feeling went into it. And Maggie, I think myself, I think you've got a classic on your hands there. I think that's
you're
going to hear an awful lot of. That's a beautiful, beautiful song.
It doesn't just apply to the wives and everything too. It just, a lot of mothers have really liked it, and the sisters, because it's just talking about, you know, your soldier, he's gone. So,
right, exactly.
I'm very happy with the way that it turned out and everything like that. And it's on iTunes and Amazon if anybody wants to download it. It's on there as a single if you just search Maggie Thorne. So.
Great. Yeah, and thank you so much for sharing it with us today. Beautiful song. Now, we haven't talked to you in a while. You've been a busy young lady. You've got a lot on your plate. What have you been doing in the last year or so?
Oh, I go to school at Belmont University. I was a sophomore this year. I'm a voice major there. And I've just been singing all over, a lot in southeast Missouri, because that's where I'm from. I'm from Bloomfield, Missouri. But I've been singing some in Nashville, and lots of writing. And I've been finishing up those songs, and I'm going to go back in the studio soon to record those to have a single for the summer and hopefully head towards another either EP or CD coming out this fall. So I've been pretty busy.
Well, we'll be looking forward to that. It'll be a good excuse to have you come back on the show when you get your new.
There you go.
I would love to. I understand that in addition, in your spare time between recording and performing and, of course, going to school, which I'm glad you brought out. I was going to mention that because it's I think it's important for upcoming artists to know that, you know, your career and your schooling and your family life don't necessarily have to preclude each other. If you work at it, you can include them all. And I congratulate you on a marvelous
life. But, thank you.
But in addition to your busy schedule, you have got you've got a couple events coming up. I know you've got a big one on July 4th, don't you?
Yeah. Yes, I'm so excited. I can't wait for the 4th of July. I get to open up for the Nitty Gritty Dart Band in my hometown on the 4th of July, which is going to be so cool. I can't wait.
Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
Oh,
that's awesome. Yeah, that's great.
I wish I could be there for that one. With the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band and you on the same show, I really wish I could be there for that one. That's going to be a fun show. And I understand you've also got an honor coming up in August.
Yeah, in August, I get to be a part of the Milo Music Festival in Appleton, Wisconsin. There's like over 200 artists I've heard, and it's through from August 7th through the 10th, and it's gonna be really cool. There's gonna be like, you know, close to 100 venues, and there's going to be so many different artists. I haven't even got to look at the list, but I'm so honored to be a part of it, and I'm really excited. Wisconsin is beautiful this summer, so it'll be really fun.
Definitely. John Bon Jovial, you've got a question.
Well, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to this, and I'm remembering the last time that, you know, we had our conversation, Maggie, which was, what, I guess about a year or so ago.
Yeah, I guess it was.
And I'm... You know, I hear between your Soldier song that we just played and then reviewing the material that we listened to, a year or so ago, a certain maturity that has occurred, which I guess it's just more of an observation than a question. But it really sounds to me like, you know, you've finessed your vocal quality. And that, you know, your guitar playing seems, you know, just very smooth. And I just want to compliment you on that.
Well, thank you so much. Yes, I have learned so much at Belmont being a voice major, and especially now because I have like a voice coach and a voice teacher now. This semester I did, and I will continue with that. I'm done with my classical training for my college career, then I go on to commercial training, which is just, you know, making my personal voice the best that it can be. So the next few years, I hope to grow even more and just keep getting better because, I mean, you can always learn something. So.
Well, there's a certain, depth to what I've heard. And not to try to swell your head or anything like this, but I have heard, you know, this kind of quality in female vocal performances that, you know, where there is a certain, almost a very subtle bass quality to it, like Tammy Wynette had, and that Patsy Cline had. And you don't hear that very often.
Well, thank you. That's a huge compliment. I love Patsy Cline.
Oh, wait, what's not
Tammy
Wynette, yeah,
too. I love Tammy Wynette, too. But, I like singing. I sing a lot of old country in my shows. People always love old country, so.
Well, I've got to tell you, I was just going to say, I was introduced to Maggie over a year ago when I was turned on to that track that I mentioned earlier that's on YouTube. She guested on Craig Ferguson, and she did a country classic, Patsy Montana's I Want to Be a Cowboy Hero, and you should hear this girl get down and yodel. She knocked my socks off. Not only because she does it and does it good and right, but because you don't hear that many upcoming artists that get into the old traditional music like yodeling. And I was so impressed. That's when I had you come on the show the first time because of that clip with Ferguson, and
yeah.
It was tremendous. Tell us something in the couple of minutes that we've got left for our listeners who either are in the process of coming up as a artist or as a group, or for the ones who have an upcoming artist or aspiring artist in their family. How do you balance all that's on your plate?
Well, I have a lot of help with my family. Like, my family's very involved in my music career. Like I said, my grandma co-writes with me. So does my dad. My dad plays at every show, and he's played on all my tracks. The pretty guitar that you hear in My Soldier is my dad, Tony. And then my mom is my manager. And, you know, it's Mother's Day today. And just, but she's also my manager. And so, like, my family's very involved, so it's easy to balance them. And then to balance school and singing, it can get pretty difficult at times because it's like, do I do my homework or do I go practice for a gig or something like that? But, I mean, you can do it. It's time management is still hard for me, but you can definitely do it. You just have to work harder at it. And sleep, you have to remember sleep is very important.
Yeah, I think dedication and discipline are also integral to the whole thing. It's fantastic.
Absolutely.
I know I've talked to your mom and dad, especially your mom. We've communicated several times over the last year or so, and I know you have a very tight-knit family, and I know they're behind you 100%, and that makes
they
a
are.
Big difference, too.
It does. It's really hard. I can't imagine if I didn't have my family behind me 100% all the time. I honestly, I don't know if I could do it. So
fantastic, and I hope we can get you back here in the, well, you said that in the fall you're going to have the new CD ready.
Absolutely.
Well, you keep in touch and let us know, because we'd like to have you come back on the show, and we'll debut the new CD for you.
I will, for sure. That would be awesome. Thank you so much.
That'd be wonderful. Thanks, Maggie.
And thank you, Maggie. Be sure and thank Mom and Dad and, well, all your family for us. Thank you so much for joining us here today. We're going to play another song by Maggie next. And it's always a pleasure and an honor for you to come join us. Thank you again for being here and helping us salute. Thank you for helping us salute our veterans as well.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is Maggie Thorne.
Now, wait a minute, David. What's the title of the song?
Oh, this song is titled I Don't Know.
You don't know? You don't know the title of the song?
I know. I confuse people all
of
the time.
Of course I know the title of the song.
Well, then, David, what is the title of the song?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. You say you got Maggie Thorne's new song, right?
Yes, I've got Maggie Thorne's new song right here.
And we're ready to play it?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody wants to hear it. You're ready to play it, and you don't know the title.
Of course I know the title.
Well, then what's the title?
I don't know.
God, I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. I'm stuck on third base and no one can hear me.
Who's on third base?
No, he's on first. Just shut up and play the record.
I see smiles on all the faces, hopes and dreams of all the places I could go. I don't know. Am I dreaming? Is this real? Is this how I'm supposed to feel? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. How do I spread my wings and fly out on my own? 'Cause I'm scared. I'm for you, if that's what I'm supposed to do.
with apologies.
Maggie Thorn on the David Bowers Awards.
Yeah, and you know what, David? I think with apologies to Abbott and Costello and also to Maggie Thorn, but we just couldn't resist that bit.
It was a must-do.
Well, that's a great song,
along
though.
With
Maggie, it's
veterans,
a beautiful, that was
with
a beautiful
salute
song.
Abbott and Costello, one of the classic comedy acts of all time.
And if there is anybody out there, if that is even possible, that has never heard the Abbott and Costello Who's on First routine, look it up on YouTube, because if you're not familiar with it, I've seen it, I don't know how many times. I still laugh my ass off every time I see that. That's your cue, David. You're on.
Oh, that's not the cue that's on the cue card, but that's okay.
Oh, wow. No, wait a minute.
Right,
I have a promo. I got a promo I've got to do here, don't I? I suppose if I read the instructions. Okay, well, listen, folks.
Well, you're as bad as Barack Obama with those teleprompters.
Yeah, right, I know, huh? I got to tell you, though, this is live radio. This is what happens. Don't forget, please, I know we kind of maybe drill it into the ground a little bit, but this is a great product. The David Bowers Awards official T-shirts, and they are available right now exclusively at www.thedavidbowers.com. Simply check our website and click on your choice and order direct. Your official The David Bowers Awards T-shirt will be shipped directly to you in a plain brown paper wrapper, so you don't have to be embarrassed when you get it. Operators are standing by. It's only $14.30. So seriously, it's a pretty neat T-shirt. I know that I've got at least a half a dozen of them myself, and I'm not afraid to wear them in public, to be honest with you. That's www.thedavidbowers.com. Get your official The David Bowers Awards T-shirts, and run with the best. They're great for wet T-shirt contests as well, by the way. And now, the David, it's time for Rockstar 101.
That it is, and we have a slight departure today. Instead of having someone from the music industry come on and tell us how what we need to do to become rock stars and how to progress in the music industry with a career, we have a gentleman coming on board who is well experienced in this field. He's going to tell us how to be a rock star and help our returning veterans. Welcome aboard to the David Bowers Awards show this afternoon, Patrick Ziegert, who is training and outreach coordinator for the Arizona Coalition for Military Families. Welcome aboard, Patrick. Welcome aboard, Patrick. Are you there?
Yep. Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me now?
There you are. I can hear you loud and clear. Thank you very
Perfect.
Much. Welcome aboard. How are
Thank
things
you, David,
in the Phoenix area today?
It's probably the easiest job to be a weatherman here most of the year. It's a beautiful day. Just a great day in Arizona, great day in Phoenix.
Well, now you've had quite a bit of experience. I know you do a lot of running around the country working with various organizations with regard to helping our veterans. I know the outline that I got was that you were going to talk to us about the importance of public-private partnerships, community collaboration, and systemic change or awareness or community support needed in the reintegration and transition from military service to civilian life, especially in the face of budget cuts and downsizing. Now, that's the DOD explanation. In plain civilian words, what it means is for all aspects of society, military, government, and the community, to work together for our veterans. Tell us about it, Patrick.
Absolutely. And again, it's a pleasure to be here once more on your show. So essentially, there's a lot of things happening, as I'm sure we've all heard across different media sources, with respect to the whole budget cuts and downsizing. And essentially what that means, if you want to put some things into some easily translatable perspectives, is the budget by 2016 is going to take about 150,000 soldiers out of the Army, which is the biggest branch of the armed forces. And to kind of give people an idea, it's at the height of the Iraq campaign, there are roughly 550,000 active duty Army assets, and they're going to be cutting that force down by roughly 20%. So when you ask some of the professionals or the leadership from the branches of service, what does this mean? Basically, the Army's version of this essentially was, if we were to try and continue what we've sustained in the last 13 years on a global front with respect to deploying and redeploying, in other words, bringing soldiers back home, there really wouldn't be what they call this dwell time. So if we had something similar to what we've been experiencing in the last 13 or so years, it would mean that combat deployments would include leaving and staying until the job is done, essentially not having the benefit of dwell time. You take a look at the other branches, like the Marine Corps, which represents, of course, Department of the Navy, but also the Marine Corps itself is expecting to reduce their numbers to about a total of 170,000, 175,000 Marines. And if they had to deploy, what that would mean is their dwell time would be like a 2-to-1 ratio. In other words, a 6-month deployment coming back, and then in about a year or so, that includes all the training time and mission readiness, within a year they'd have to go back and deploy again. A lot of demands, if you ask the service members and also the families, because although not everybody serves, it seems we all have a family member or we have somebody that we know, a close friend, or that we work with, or somebody in our community that we know has some sort of military affiliation. So whatever touches the lives of the service member is definitely going to have an impact on the rest of our communities, and it definitely has an impact. So even talking about reducing different things like attack aviation assets with the National Guards and kind of moving those things around the table, it really means that there could be potential unemployment, not just in the active duty, not just for the service member, but also in the National Guard, the Department of Defense, and all the civilians that support this role in the military as well. So it's really up to the communities. Yeah, it's really going to be up to the communities to prepare for this.
Now, Patrick, this is John. I just wanted to ask you. One of the things that I have, I don't dwell on it, but I have wondered about it from time to time. On a program such as yours, how do you deal not so much with the returning veteran, especially if they're returning from Iraq or now, of course, Afghanistan, but how do you deal with not only their immediate family and friends, but the community itself in trying to help understand the effects of PTSD, what kind of person, do you go out of your way to say the person that's returning may not be the same type of person that went? How do you handle things like
that? Well, first of all, you're absolutely right. And any time away from your support network, being gone for 6 months, 9 months, a year, sometimes longer, you're going to have an inevitable course of change. And that's including, the people that are support that stay back here as well. Their lives go on. They change as well. And it's not always just about things like PTSD, or even traumatic brain injury. People struggle with the same issues in the military as they do in the community as well, whether it's financial issues, spiritual issues, talking about continuing their education, relationship, family issues. I could go on, but all of these things certainly affect our service members, and probably to a little bit of a greater degree because you throw all the operational stress that's associated with your service on top of those things. So it makes it a little bit more difficult when it comes to things like reintegration. And what we do as a community is we provide to those that are organizations that definitely play by a certain set of guidelines, things that like we've established here in Arizona. We want to make sure that there are certain ethical considerations and some other stuff in order to become what they call a truly military veteran-friendly organization. So we've got a set of guidelines. We call it the Guidelines for Care here in our state. But what we want to do is touch these individuals and organizations and provide them with some military cultural competency, describe key issues, some of the barriers that our military folks have when they're seeking services, and a lot of times it's just letting them know what kind of services are available. And it's, engaging with the community in all aspects of it, like you'd mentioned, military, government, and the community providers.
Well, what also, just to take that one step further, when a lot of our guys come back, certain things may happen that, could get them into trouble with the law.
Sure.
What do you do to educate or make the law enforcement community, whether it's local law enforcement or on the state level, what do you do to make them more aware of the fact that, hey, instead of just arresting this guy outright, there could be some extenuating circumstances. Let's look into that. How do you accomplish that?
Well, first of all, it's an excellent question, and it's a growing concern for the justice-involved veteran population. And we do have a good answer for it. And it actually started in New York when they took a drug court model and started implementing what they call veterans courts. you know, and the first thing that we want to do is try and take a look at all those opportunities, like I'd mentioned, where it's spirituality, homelessness, employment issues, but all of the times that those people reach out for assistance are opportunities that could be met well before they become a justice-involved veteran. So we want to educate folks and let them know you can't miss these opportunities. Now, if things go poorly in the life of a person to where they end up getting involved with the law, one of the things that we want to do is touch our first responder population, law enforcement, paramedics, fire, behavioral health specialists, even attorneys and those people in the courts, basically letting them know, again, the cultural competency piece, but finding some common ground that they might have so there can be some sort of a connection with the legally involved veteran and that first responder. But really what we've done is the answer is sometimes you just have to make an arrest. You know, the interest of our society is justice, and we want to protect the victims of crimes, obviously.
Oh,
but for
of
things
course.
That are, you know, that the for the things that are not violent and even some assaults and things like that, but a lot of DUI, drug offenses and things like this can be handled in what these veteran courts can provide. And really what it does is it handles it's a problem-solving approach. So there isn't any sort of adversarial prosecution, defense sort of relationship. It's a team that gets put together, including court staff, whether it's a provider from the VA in most cases. The veterans courts have to have a veteran justice outreach coordinator so that they can see if there are some sort of service-connected benefits, but also people from behavioral health representation organizations in the community in case they're not eligible for VA services. And really what it comes down to is holding that veteran accountable for what they had done. Hopefully what we can do is take it to the lowest possible level, but the payoff there is that they're involved in typically a pretty rigid probation program that includes getting them connected with the service that they probably earned while they were in the military. And essentially, if it's a substance abuse, anger management issue, you know, they're required to participate in programs that your typical justice-involved individual in the rest of our community wouldn't be subjected to. So when people take a look at some of these veterans' courts, we have to understand that it's not, you know, letting them off of the hook. In fact, they're actually more involved in their own treatment and, say, a probation program than other people probably would be. But the payoff there is if we can get to those underlying issues, like you had mentioned, we can definitely take care of what caused that justice issue in the first place, and hopefully we won't have repeat offenders. In fact, the numbers speak for themselves when they talk about things like recidivism, far lower in the veteran population through veterans courts than it is for the rest of the community, if we can get them connected with the right resources at the right time.
Well, if the rate of recidivism, wow, I can't say that. Okay, let's just put it this way. If the rate of repeat offenders is less in the veteran community, and you mentioned, you know, behavioral health, then is there a way to deal with the returning veteran that may inwardly acknowledge, hey, there's something wrong with me, but outwardly, you know, just has that machismo approach, like there's nothing wrong with me, I can handle it, I'm okay, I don't need your help, leave me alone. How do you crack that shell?
Well, it's an excellent question, and a lot of people, they'll jump to that word stigma. In fact, the very things that keep us alive while we're overseas, even especially in combat, are things, you know, like the warrior ethos and the attitude of putting the mission first and never accepting defeat and never quitting. Well, if you're recognizing certain things are going on in your own life and you feel like they're getting the better of you, reaching out to ask for help could certainly feel like accepting defeat to some people. So there are organizations, partnerships that have been established with the military, with community providers. There's one that I'll plug. It's called Real Warriors. And what they've done is that they've actually spoken to senior leadership and their families coming back from a deployment and basically said, here's the deal. In order for you to be mission ready, you've got to go and get the help that you need. And it's a sign of strength to go get the assistance that you need to get back into the mission. And so you've got a lot of the senior leadership admitting that when they came back from a deployment, that they had some challenges. And if they were left alone, they would compound and become some serious problems for them. But the idea is that they got connected with the resources, again, either through the military, through government organizations like the Veterans Administration or Veterans Affairs, or even community providers, because there's a lot of outreach efforts that are going on, even from the VA, into the community to talk about things like behavioral health issues. But it's a sign of strength to be able to ask for that assistance. And once you get that assistance, basically, you know, showing that sign of strength, you're going to be able to fold back into the mission. But you can't do it until you get the help that you need. The VA's got a great campaign as well, where they have a Marine veteran, his name is Mike, but basically said, hey, you owe it to the people that couldn't come home to get yourself well. And the fact is, people around here are counting on you to get connected with the resources that you need. So shifting some of the attitude of placing the mission first, looking at it from a combat standpoint, now saying what your mission is to go get well, because people back home are counting on you. And again, you owe it to the people that couldn't make it back home, because you don't want to dishonor their service either. So there's big shift in that stigma, and I think it's definitely working.
That's excellent. David, I know you're chomping at the bit to get in there.
Thank you, John Bon Jovial. Patrick, thank you. Before we let you go, would you do us all one favor and summarize, if you could, please, how we, as the public, the general public, how we can move forward and extend the help that is needed by our returning veterans?
And there's a couple of different ways. Don't be afraid to approach a veteran. You know, a lot of people say, how do you talk to a vet? And my answer is, you start off by saying, hi, my name is Patrick. You know, you just have a conversation. And the other is, we don't ever want to be the wrong door. If someone comes to you as a friend, as a coworker, somebody in the community, and just humbly expresses that they're having some struggles, it doesn't have to be a crisis situation, it could be anything, listen to what they have to say and encourage them to get connected with the resources that are available and really be part of that whole community system change, work with different coalitions, and definitely follow best practices where available to make sure that people are getting the services that they need.
Great. Thank you so much, Patrick. And let me ask you this. Will you come back and talk to us again?
Absolutely. Now, I enjoy coming to your show. I always do. So I'm just honored to be able to be here. And just want to plug a couple people. Happy Mother's Day. My wife, she's a combat veteran as well. She's my soldier. My mom's in town, and we're going to go over and visit with her and my aunt for Mother's Day as well. Just want to say happy Mother's Day to everybody that's out there. And thanks again, David, for having me.
Fantastic. Thank you again for taking time out of your Mother's Day and your family to be with us here this afternoon and discuss this important subject with us. Thank you, Patrick Ziegert, from the Arizona Coalition for Military Families. We do look forward to having you back again to talk about our veterans and how we can and should and must support them. And John Bon Jovial, are you still with us? Okay.
Yes, David, I am here. Sorry about that. We had I don't know how I did it, but I hit the mute switch on our microphone. But no, I'm back with you. We're waiting on Paul Delacerda of Warrior Spirit to give us a call, and we should be hearing from him at any moment here.
Well, in the meantime, we'll introduce the audience to the Warrior Spirit Band. They've been with us once before, too, and you get a chance to hear these great guys and the music they make. This is called, appropriately enough, Not Easy Being a Soldier.
It's not easy being a cowboy, riding in the sand. We're showing kindness and helping others, but they don't want a helping hand. We grab our guns, we saddle up. It's time to ride that next go round. We bow our heads and pray to God. Pray we don't fall to the ground. Riding quickly into the city in the dead of night. It's cold and windy, the streets are empty, and we're looking for a fire. Keep
It's not easy being a soldier. That's the Warrior Spirit Band. And on the phone right now from the Warrior Spirit Band, we have Paul DeLacerta. Paul, good afternoon.
How you doing today, sir?
Doing just fine, thank you. And you?
I'm all right. I have my bass player, my new bass player, Rodney Hall, is on the other line with me, Marine Corps veteran.
How's it going, y'all?
Well, we're glad to have you with us this afternoon and representing the services. It's an amazing thing that you've done. For our listeners who aren't familiar, kind of summarize Warrior Spirit Band, what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Well, we are a all-combat wounded veteran band that travels around the United States, plays for other wounded warriors at different warrior transition units, or these are facilities that are where our men and women go to heal and to you know, eventually either transition out of the military or stay within the military. So it gives them a better area. Instead of going to a regular unit, they go to this one. And we play with but mainly Army and Marines do that, but the Air Force seems to have followed suit lately, so it looks like they're all trying to come up with their own WTU or warrior unit, as it's called. We also travel to veterans functions as well. People hire us to play. We're our nonprofit organization, but we also, you know, the band makes money, what we can make. You know, we are a business at the same time. We all have to make money at the same time. But a portion of those proceeds always go toward our organization again. So Rock for Recovery is our music therapy program here at home, and they both essentially do the same thing. Our mission is to empower our wounded warriors through our music and be able to offer them an avenue to help them with their transition, whether it be a partnered organization that we're sponsoring at the time, or we have, you know, various information packets that we bring with us, or we just sit down and talk to them, you know. And suicide prevention and is one of our big things. You know, there's 22 veterans we're losing every day, and that number needs to go down to zero. So, you know, we're doing our best to get in there and get them where before they even transition out of the military. So we're getting them right at the source of the problem.
That 22,000 veterans, that's a staggering number.
Yeah, 22 a day. We're losing one basically every 22. Hour. And it's
22.
You know, I've lost a lot of friends already over the years, and it's not a good thing. You know, it's something that I hold dear, near and dear to my heart. And I know that Rodney there has struggled himself, and has his own friends that have done the same thing. So, you know, we all have a vested interest in what we do in this band. 5 years I've been doing this now, and you know, we've had our ups and downs. We've traveled across the United States on $1,200 before, eating bologna sandwiches. So, you know, it's not for the money. I can say that much right now, but it does help to have funding for it.
Well, now, as wounded warriors yourself, I think it might be safe to say that this is you're actually going through your own therapy in helping others and showing them what to do, what can be done, and how to do it. Kind of, well, really, you're like all good leaders. You're leading by example.
Exactly. Leading from the front, you know, that's what we try to do. And we try to let them know that, you know, hey, man, you know, we've been where you've been. So, you know, there's nothing you can tell me that I haven't been through at least once or dealt with at one point.
Yeah, and it's more of like we do it for, you know, our women, our brothers and sisters, and at the same time, it's music therapy for ourselves. So, I mean, it's an amazing thing, like, really.
Like Rodney, for instance, when I brought him to his first Wounded Warrior function that we did, tell them what you thought about it when you first did it.
Well, I mean, coming in for my first actual, you know, Wounded Warrior event, it's just to see really how much we actually help. Just to go somewhere and play, like we went to Las Vegas for the Warrior Trials for the Air Force, which was, you know, was an awesome experience. Got to meet a bunch of warriors. And, you know, just really get it out there. We actually had a guy that, you know, we saved, came up on stage, and what really thinks people don't understand is that music is really a better medicine than being heavily medicated. Because I know myself, I've been plenty of medicated through the years. So, but for the fact is just to see that just playing music just to see it, to have people say, you can come up here and jam with us. We saved a guy's life there. And that changed my whole perspective to make me want to be more involved and do more to what I, you know, than what I have done. And it's just really an eye-opening experience. You know, I about lost it along with, you know, the rest of the guys, but you know, it's just really just a big eye-opener. And I can't wait to get on the road here in the next month so to, you know, continue doing what we've been doing.
Well, think of it this way, David. Well, you know, when we mean by save the guy's life, the guy was going to jump off the roof of our hotel room, his hotel room that night before, and had to call the crisis center and everything. And then all of a sudden the next day, he's up on stage with us singing a whole song with us and smiling, and the whole crowd's cheering him on and everything. It was an amazing experience, to say the least. Yeah, that's happened more than once, but every time we do it, it's like the first time. It's amazing, you know?
Yeah, it never gets old. Never.
How do you guys reach out to your fellow soldiers in a time of crisis like that? Okay, you come to town, you play a gig and say, hey, guys, we're one of you. But, I mean, what do you really do to reach out to these guys and make them know that, you know, with you they have safe haven?
Well, put it this way. My phone number is on my website. I've gotten random calls at 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning. I had a guy call me about maybe a year ago. And said, man, I don't know you or anything, but I got your number. And he just started talking. And I didn't really ask why until later on I figured out why he was calling me. And he just needed to reach out to somebody and talk to him. And, you know, he emails me about maybe a week later and told me how important it was for me to be on the phone with him and that I'm able to be accessible the way I am. And I kind of truly believe that the accessibility is what really does it. And the fact that, you know, I do study a few things about counseling and other things like that. And, you know, I know a lot of things not to say and what to say and those kind of things. I mean, I do take my time and my due diligence to educate myself, even though I do suffer with it myself. But, you know, the thing is that I'm able to go to their level as well and be able to understand them a lot more. But one thing we do offer, we have all these organizations that we're partnered with. And I'm able to reach out to these organizations, and it's like the military when you have a call roster. I start calling my friends up and say, hey man, what can you do for me, man? I got a guy that needs your help, and it's immediately. I mean, these guys reach out to him like right away. I had a guy all the way in Florida by payphone that was in crisis, and we got a guy to come down there and help him out and pull him out of there. So, you know, you just got to know where to call, man. And that's the thing. It takes a year. It took me years to get to that point.
Well, you know,
you have
served myself and my family, and I will, even though I don't know you, I will always be grateful to you and Rodney for doing that. And now you're serving, you know, your fellow brothers and sisters in arms, and I'm not sure which one is the more admirable. They're just so way up there in stature, and I for one do appreciate it. And I hope you guys have a great Memorial Day. I really do. David, you got a question?
Yeah, before we let you guys go, first I want to say thank you on behalf of America. I think that what you're doing is about as close to above and beyond as you possibly can. This is a tremendous program you've got going, not only helping the veterans, but doing it your way with the music and with your example. I salute you guys for it. It's tremendous. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir.
Both
thank you, sir.
In the military and now in the music end of it. Thank you. And I did want to ask you mentioned in your notes that you're working on a new album. Can you tell us about it and when we could expect to hear it?
Well, the way things are looking, they're moving pretty fast right now. A lot of great things and a lot of synergy going on in the group right now. We got new members, Rodney being one, and I just pulled in two more, and it's just been going crazy right now. We're trying to release a 3-song to 4-song EP, and hopefully by June we'll have it released for touring time. We do leave on tour in July for a 18 Midwest to West Coast stops, and it's 20 days, 18 stops in 20 days. It's going to be ridiculously, you know, busy. And that's just in July, in August on the East Coast. So we'll be going your way on the East Coast in August. And
Yeah, we haven't announced it yet. We got a couple of really big functions that are coming up that are well up in the food chain as far as when it comes to entertainment. And trust me, when we say it, when we do announce it, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. It's really, it's exciting for us. We picked up more endorsements, of course, you know, along the way. So Ernie Ball's been our really big endorser in, you know, Clear Tone and Clear Audio and Launch Cable and a bunch of people like that. So without you guys' support and all these endorsers and sponsors that keep us on the road, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So, you know, it's a very vital and important for us to financially be able to get on the road. And we don't charge Wounded Warriors to play. Our sponsors are what help us keep us on the road so we can play for them. So without that financial support, we're not able to do what we do and continue to help our Warriors out. So something to keep in mind. But the album's coming out soon. So I'll tell you what, when we get one of our tracks done, I'll be the first to come up there and get a hold of you, and you could probably go ahead and play one of our tracks for the first time.
Oh, we'd love that. Absolutely. Yeah. That was my next point. I was going to say, please do keep us in the loop. Let us know what's going on and when the album's coming out. And we'd love to have you guys come back on the show, and we'll feature you and as much of the new album as you want to share with us.
Oh, and one quick thing. I want to let you guys know, I in cooperation with Zildjian Cymbals and Aquarian Heads, I'm releasing my military edition cymbals and military edition heads, or drum heads. And they have all the armed services and their core values listed on all the drum heads and all the cymbals. It's pretty cool. An amazing experience and an opportunity to be able to do that for these companies. But I'll send you a picture of them when I get an opportunity. You can post that up and show everybody.
Great. Okay. Definitely look forward to that. Thank you guys much. Warrior Spirit Band, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to give you another track from the band right now. Thank you guys so much, both for being here and taking time out of your Mother's Day to be with us, and also for all that you have done both while you were serving active duty and now that you're serving music duty. Ladies and gentlemen, Warrior Spirit Band, this is called Heart in Your Hand.
In my head and I'm
and the song Heart in Your Hand. Wow, what a great bunch of guys, and they do some wonderful things for our veterans. My hat's off to them. This is John Bon Jovial saying that you are listening to the David Bowers Awards, and also, you know, there's a lot of talk going on around all over the country, all over the world for that matter right now regarding the bug that is in Internet Explorer, Internet Explorer 11 all the way down to 6. Matter of fact, it even affects Windows XP. But it's a lot of noise, and it's going to get fixed, but you do have to take some precautions. And there, it's an open source kind of a thing that, you know, some ne'er-do-wells have found a loophole, and they've made it possible to be able to take over your computer. But don't sweat it. We can fix it for you. There's a lot of dedicated hackers out there whose sole aim is to screw your life up. And if you're not careful, if you don't maintain high-level passwords and security and remain constantly vigilant, you can get hacked. It's just a fact of life. We deal with computers all the time here. And, of course, I'm talking about Computer Help USA. Someone can help you get inside your computer. Someone can get inside your computer, and they can start causing all kinds of problems. And you won't know until it's too late. And that's where Computer Help USA comes in. Help is in our middle name, Computer Help USA. We're online at comphelpusa.com. That's comphelpusa.com. All right, David, it's time for our next guest. He is an outspoken supporter of our veterans in America. He's traveled all over the world to play for our troops, in addition to bringing us his message for America. Today, he's bringing us his incredible new album, A Salute to the Legendary Bob Dylan. Off the Grid, Doing It Dylan. That's right. We are proud to welcome back to the David Bowers Awards the one, the only, Charlie Daniels.
Around you have grown and accepted that you seem to be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Come writers and critics who prophesy with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, or the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that is naming. For the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Come senators and congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, and don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who is stalled. There's a battle outside and it's raging. It'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command, and your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. Well, the line that is drawn and the curse that is cast, the slow one now will later be last, and the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times,
ladies and gentlemen, the man you've all been waiting for. Welcome aboard, the one, the only, Charlie Daniels.
Well, good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening. What is it?
Whatever time of day. Charlie, welcome aboard. So glad to have you back here again, and especially for our Veterans Tribute Show here just ahead of Memorial Day.
Well, we're glad to be with you, Ron. In fact, thank you.
Well, I know that you've done a lot of work with and for the veterans. One of them that I noticed most recently, you did your annual Scholarship for Heroes concert in connection with Lipscomb University.
Yeah, we do that every year. It's such a gratifying program because we started with a handful of folks, and we have worked up. We have 100 students now. It's gratifying in that these young people have gone out and given a part of their lives, and in a lot of instances, a part of their bodies, like prosthesis and head wounds and all that sort of thing, and to they've given it to our nation, and we're trying to help them kind of jumpstart their lives and get an education so they can go on and do whatever they want to do in their life.
Well, I know what you mean there, and of course we had on the show just a few minutes ago, we had the Warrior Spirit Band, which is a group of wounded warriors who work for and with the Wounded Warriors program, and they lean a little bit more to the rock side than you, which gives us a little balance today, but they are an amazing, Paul and his group are an amazing bunch. I don't know if you've had the pleasure to come across them in your travels or not, the Warrior Spirit Band.
Haven't had the pleasure yet.
If you do get a chance to, be sure and give them our best, and I know you enjoy it. They're really an inspirational bunch of guys. Like I said, they are themselves wounded warriors, and they are working around the clock for our veterans. Charlie, what are some of the other activities you've been involved in and shows as far as supporting our veterans? Because I know you're a huge supporter.
Well, I've been to Iraq 3 times, been to Afghanistan, Kuwait, Uzbekistan, some other stand over there. I've been to Cuba. I've been to Greenland. I've been to Serbia. I've been to Kosovo. I've been, all over the place to try to entertain the guys. I mean, that's what I do, and pardon me, what I have to contribute. So over a period of many years, we've been wherever we can get to where the military is.
Well, I know you've done a lot of work, and that was one of the reasons we were especially interested in having you. Of course, the door is always open to Charlie Daniels to come on our show, but especially at a time like this when we are saluting our veterans, you've done a lot of great work, and I'm especially impressed with your Scholarship for Heroes program. That is really special.
We're very happy with that. I get a lot more credit for it than what I deserve. An awful lot of other people put the work into it. Of course, it's got my name on it. There are so many people involved in getting something like that done. And it's just it's gratifying to see the light come on in these young men and women's eyes that they get into the program and it dawns on them, yes, I can do this. Yes, I can get this degree. Yes, I can go on with my life. And my service is behind me. My life is ahead of me. So, getting on with it. So it's a gratifying thing to do.
And we heard a little bit about that and the work that's being done with our returning veterans from a guest we had on the show a few minutes ago, Patrick Ziegert. He'll never forgive me if I mispronounce his name. But he's the coordinator for the Arizona Coalition for Military Families, and he travels all over the country working with agencies that support and work for our veterans after they come back, both with their problems and also with just the problem of recycling back into to everyday society, which is a definite challenge.
There are so many components in this thing, so many people that that contribute to the well-being and the reentry of our veterans into and the medical treatment and reentry of our veterans into society. That working together, it takes all of us, and my hat's off, and I salute anybody who's involved in it, because it is not only a worthy thing to do, it is an essential thing to do. We owe these people, we owe our veterans an unpayable debt of gratitude. We can never, ever pay them back for laying their lives on the line. So the best we can do is to try to make life as good for them as we possibly can when they come back.
I'm glad you touched on that, because that was my next point I was going to discuss with you, and that's the fact that our returning veterans, a lot of people think they're not getting all the support they should have, and there's sometimes some snags and snafus. There are problems that arise, and that's inevitable. Anything this humongous in magnitude, there are going to be glitches that arrive. But the bottom line is we owe these guys more than we can ever repay them, and it would be just unforgivable for us to not do everything we possibly could to help these people out. And when I say guys, I'm talking in generics here. I know there are gals involved too, and I'm
it's
not trying to say
that. It's a pejorative term. Absolutely, I agree with you. You know, I am very much of a private sector sort of guy in most things, but this particular thing with our veterans, our government sent them to war. Our government needs to take care of them. I have taken a vow that in this election cycle, I will not vote for any Tennessee congressman, senator, or whatever that voted to cut veterans' benefits. I know that happened. I know there's some pretty prominent people that voted for that bill, however it was, that was stuck in with their cutting veterans' benefits. There are other places to cut benefits, not the veterans. So I'm not going to vote for any of them. If there's nobody else I want to vote for, I just leave the place blank. But I absolutely will not. It's the only way I've got to protest is at the polls. So.
Absolutely.
I am disgusted with our Congress and our Senate for the way they treat these guys when they come back. They sit in Washington behind a desk, and these guys go over and carry guns. And, you know, I've been among them. They're the best we've got. They're the best young people that America has to offer. If all of American youth had the sense of responsibility and self-reliance and sense of duty that these young men and women have, this would be a totally different country. But, you know, they go over, they give, if there's no wounds and no injuries involved, they give years of their life, but the very prime of their life. And there's no way we can ever give them those years back, and especially when they come back with a physical or a mental impairment that they've got, there's no way we can ever replace that and pay it back. But the least we can do is to try. And our Veterans Administration, I am so disgusted with it. This starts with leadership somewhere up the line. Somebody needs to step in and say, we have got to take care of our veterans and be strong enough to follow it on through. We need out of the political realm and say this is a duty that America owes these people.
Charlie,
this is not an elected thing.
Charlie, the question that begs to be asked, have you ever thought of running for Congress or Senate yourself? Because
you would do one hell of a job.
I know that.
I'm not super for that kind of thing. You're very kind to say that, but no, I could never handle that. They'd run me out the first day. I'd have somebody by the throat.
Well, you're absolutely 100% right.
I'd have Harry Reid's tie pulled up in the air around his neck.
Well, you're absolutely right. It needs to be taken out of the political ring. This should never be a political issue. I'm just going to make two quick points, and then I'm going to move on here, because if you get me started between you and me, we'll be here all. But it needs to be taken out of the political ring. Secondly, the American people are the bottom line in this equation. If they do not stand up and demand that their representatives do this, all else is for the American people are the bottom line. It's up to them to stand up and do something. And the last thing I'm going to say on the subject is our representatives, or at least the people who are alleged to be our representatives, should only walk them in these people's boots.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely.
Moving on from my podium here now, Charlie, tell us about this fantastic album you have out, Doing It Dylan. I know you have a history with Bob Dylan that goes back. Tell us about the album.
Well, I've been a big Dylan fan for decades and had the honor of working on three albums back in starting in 1969 with Nashville Skyline, which made me an even bigger fan. And we wanted to do an album. We had recorded it, I think, acoustically, and we liked it. We'd never done it before. And we actually did some music show that we did acoustic and said we should do an album with these instruments. So where better to go than to the Dylans? It was the idea whose time had come. You know, it's the idea actually been in the back of my mind for a long time. But what better thing to go to than the Dylan thing, because you never run out of material. That well is so deep. So we started choosing songs that we could put our mark on, that we could do in a CDB way. I didn't want to copy Bob's arrangements or anybody else that had ever done the material. So we went to the studio. We had 10 like CDB songs, Bob Dylan songs, but with the CDB touch on them, and did this off the grid, because it's called that because it's acoustical, and doing it Dylan because it's all Bob Dylan music.
And it is a tremendous album. I know when I first heard the tracks back earlier in May, and I think back in April, I was totally blown away. I know the first cut that got my attention was a pop rock hit that I played back in my broadcast radio days, and I'm sure John Bon Jovial did too. The Mighty Quinn, and I saw that, and I said, "You got to be kidding me!" Charlie Daniels doing the Mighty Quinn, and that was my introduction to the album, and I have played those tracks, the whole album, over so many times that it's a good thing digital doesn't work like vinyl.
Well, I'm glad you like it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Charlie. It was a tremendous idea, a great album. Charlie, give the folks your links so they know how to find you and how to get the album.
Well, it's just charliedaniels.com. Anything you ever want to know about CDB is there, and probably some things you don't really care about.
Well,
it's charliedaniels.com. That's our website, and it's available on all the digitally downloaded places. We're also have it out in CD, and we will release. There will be a limited vinyl release on it later on. Is our plan.
I get me one of those, and I know you do too, John.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I still have my old air turntable, and it works beautifully.
Hey, stay with it, man.
And Charlie, you've got a big show coming up Memorial Weekend up in Albany, New York, with quite cast.
Yes, we do, with Marshall Tucker and Brett Michaels. We're looking forward to doing that. This is also a awareness for military.
Absolutely, and I know if I were back up in that area, I would be already having tickets because they're on sale now. And they're at you're going to be at the Times Union Center there in Albany, right?
Yes, we are. We sure are.
Fantastic. And tickets, I think, if I remember correctly, are running between, what, 35 and 55?
You know, I don't even know. I don't have a sheet in front of me right now that tells the information, but that sounds about right.
Yeah, I think that's about where they're at. That's for you folks in upstate New York and New England, May 31st, the Albany Times Union Center, 7 p.m., don't open at 6. Tickets are available now. Charlie, thank you so much for being with us today and helping us salute our veterans.
My pleasure, and God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you, Charlie, and
thank you. Thank you, Charlie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wondering if she had changed it all, if her hair was still red. Her folks said that our lives together, she was gonna be rough. They never did like Mama's homemade dress, Papa's bank wasn't enough. And I was standing on the side of the road, rain falling on my shoes, heading out for the East Coast. Well, you know I paid some dues again through. Tangled up in blue. When we first met, soon to be divorced, I helped her out of the jam, I guess, but I used a little too much force. We drove back car as far as we could, abandoned it out west, split up on a dark set night, but agreeing that it was best. She turned around to look at me as I was walking away. I heard say over my shoulder, we'll meet again someday on the avenue. Tangled up in
a cook for a spell, but I never did like it all that much. And one day the axe just fell. So I drifted on down to New Orleans, where I happened to be employed, working for a while on a fishing boat right outside of Delacroix. But all the while I was all alone, the past was close behind. I seen a lot of women, but you never escaped my mind. And I just grew tangled up in blue. Well, she was working in the top of the bar, and I stopped in for a beer. I just kept looking at the side of her face, and the spotlight so clear. Later on, as the crowd thinned out, I was just about to do the same. She was standing there in back of my chair, said, "Don't I know your name?" I muttered something under my breath. She studied the lines of my face. I must admit, I felt a little uneasy when she bent down to tie the laces of my shoes. Tangled up in blue.
Daniels, oh, thank you so much for being on the show with us today, Charlie. Thank you for sharing that great album with us. If you haven't heard it, his new album is called Off the Grid, Doing It Dylan. It's all Bob Dylan tunes and Charlie Daniels' interpretation of them. It's definitely one you want to have in your collection, especially if you're a Charlie Daniels or Bob Dylan fan, but I think music lovers anywhere can appreciate that.
Real interesting twist on both Tangled Up in Blue and The Times They Are Changing. It's when I had heard of the concept for the album, I personally had trouble visualizing what this thing was going to sound like. And of course, if anybody can pull it off, of course Charlie Daniels can, because it's just such a sheer raw talent. But man, I tell you what, I think that is something that certainly exceeded my expectations. It is really terrific.
Absolutely. And it was I'm always glad to have Charlie on the show, because he's another one who's not afraid to voice his opinion. He doesn't try to play politics or anything like that, but you ask him a question, you're going to get an answer. So I guess the best thing is, if you don't want Charlie's opinion, don't ask him the question in the first place.
But that's been our experience, though, hasn't it?
Isn't that the truth? Seriously, I'd like to say thank you to all of our guests today, the incomparable Charlie Daniels, Maggie Thorne, Warrior Spirit Band, and of course Fight for Rome, the new band out of Rome, New York. And we'll definitely be looking for more indie artists. So if you are an indie artist and you're trying to make your way up the ladder, don't hesitate. Send us your EPK. If you don't have an EPK, just write us and ask us, and we'll be glad to tell you what we need to consider you for a guest slot on the show. Send it to David@thedavidbowers.com, and we'll have our staff listen to it, and perhaps you'll be a guest on our show and be able to introduce yourself, your group, and your music around the world. We'd be glad to have you on the show. We love to expose new artists and hear them ourselves, of course. And especially thanks, of course, to the men and women of our armed forces for all you do, for all you have done, and all we have because of you. God bless our veterans. And, of course, to our mothers, the first ladies of our lives, have a safe and happy Memorial Day. And while you're out celebrating with your friends and loved ones, don't forget to take a moment to thank our veterans. John?
Yes, sir. Well, you know, I think that we got this new segment of the show kicked off with a fine start with the indie artist segment this week, and we would like to hear from anybody out there that would like to have their music played on the David Bowers Awards. We are open and to anybody and anything that wants to send us their EPK. We really do want to get the word out about independent artists and the quality of the music that they have. There are some real gems out there that nobody knows about, and we'd like to expose you to them. Don't forget to order your official The David Bowers Awards t-shirt on our website, www.thedavidbowers.com. And artists, again, be sure to send us your EPKs. Send them to David at thedavidbowers.com to try for a guest appearance on the show. The David Bowers Awards is produced by The David Bowers for Stick It In Your Ear Productions from the beautiful studios of Computer Help USA in Naples, Florida. And it is available for free download on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes. Click the follow link on our Blog Talk Radio page and get reminders of our upcoming shows, and like The David Bowers on Facebook, and be sure to follow us on Twitter. Please join us for the David Bowers Awards next Sunday, not next Sunday, but a month from now, Sunday, June 6th at 2 p.m. Eastern, and that will be 11 a.m. Pacific with guests from the Houston, Texas area, Dimitri's Rail. They make a return visit. And from London, England, we've also got another returning guest, Robbie Boyd, and special guests saluting the past and the here to now, sons of two music legends, Frank Avalon, son of Frankie Avalon, and Aidan Everly, son of Don Everly, plus rising newcomer recording artist Michaela, and probably other things that we don't have planned at all, because sometimes we don't even know what we're doing. So, hey, you know how that goes. But until then, for the David Bowers and all of the crews here at the Asylum, this is John Bon Jovial wishing all of our mothers a happy Mother's Day. And to all of our veterans, both past and present, thank you so much for your sacrifice and your service. And we all hope that you have a wonderful Memorial Day. Until now, for the David Bowers Awards, peace and love, everybody. We'll see you next month.